I confess, my brethren and sisters, that the call to occupy this position this afternoon is somewhat unexpected. I'm to give the Church of the Air sermon next Sunday morning, and it was intimated to me that because of that appointment, I would not be asked to speak from this stand. So I have no special message from my heart. I suppose I'll have to depend upon the Lord. I'm always very happy to bear my testimony to my brethren and sisters that this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice in it. I know it to be true. The truth of it has enlightened my life and given happiness to me and to my family. That I can say always to my brethren and to my sisters. This has been a year of anniversaries. A short time ago, within the last few weeks, the president of our church went to Hawaii to celebrate the coming of the gospel to those islands 100 years ago. You have read of what happened there. He mentioned it briefly himself this morning in his address. But it's also 100 years ago since the gospel was brought into the foreign-speaking lands of Europe. Up to that time, we had only once attempted to preach the gospel in foreign tongues, namely in the South Sea Islands. But 100 years ago, the missionaries sent out by the First Presidency and the 12 of that day entered the Scandinavian countries and other countries in Europe and bore witness of the restoration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, made a notable progress at that time, a progress which has resulted in a large influx of men and women, faithful men and women, from those countries to the valleys of the mountains here. It was my privilege to be sent over to Scandinavia a few months ago to take part in the celebrations that those countries were making, giving, enjoying because of the great anniversary. I visited the three Scandinavian countries, I suppose primarily because I'm able to speak a little of the tongues of those countries, and visited Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, in addition to a brief stay in England. I came back feeling thrilled with the way in which the gospel has developed and spread from the humble beginnings of 100 years ago in those countries. We know, of course, that here in these valleys, among the stakes and wards of Zion, the blood of those countries, through intermarriage, has spread until a very large proportion of our people here are possessed of a bit of that blood. But there, the brethren and sisters had planned large celebrations. I was able to attend the one in Stockholm, in Sweden, and in Oslo, in Norway, carefully made after the pattern that had been planned for our celebration here at home. I missed the beginnings of the celebration in Denmark because of my hurried call and trip, but later on I met with the Danes and enjoyed their company and partook of their spirit. It was interesting to me to note how the gospel changes the very natures of men, and how faithful and devoted men and women are to the cause of truth once it sinks into their hearts. Norway is a long country, nearly 1,000 miles long. Up in the north, in the icy north, we have two or three branches, one very recently established. And I was pleased to find in Oslo, which is nearly at the south end of the country, men who had come from the north and women who had come from the north to celebrate and to thank the Lord for the coming of the gospel to their land. The same happened in Sweden. And Denmark, which is a small country, had a very large representation of its members, church members, in the celebration. But there's a spirit of faith and devotion, just like the one we have here today. Men and women would travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to sit by one another in meetings like this and listen to a discourse or discourses on the simple principles of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was interesting to note, too, how men grow and develop under the influence of the gospel. Let a very humble man be touched by the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes transformed. He's no more the same man, no longer the same person. He has been changed completely. I'm reminded of the statement by the prophet Joseph Smith at one time when talking about the children of Abraham. He said that any person who actually accepts the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ becomes a part of the seed of Abraham. That a subtle change occurs in the very physical system of the man, which makes him indeed one who belongs to the family of Abraham. And that came back to me a good many times on that trip to Scandinavia in the summer, that the men are transformed for the better always. Their powers are multiplied, their vision increased, their understanding, comprehension brought out in new forms and much more vigorously because of the gospel which they have received, the truths in it that have worked upon them. So I have to bear this record and this message to my brothers and sisters at this conference and bring the greetings of the people in the faraway missions in Europe. Greetings to you, and their blessings too, and their blessings are quite worthwhile. They love you, they watch you, they follow you, they try to emulate and to imitate that which you do here. Some years ago, I've forgotten just how many, I had the privilege to go to Oslo, the capital of Norway, with President David O. McKay and Elder Reed Smoot. The three of us came into the city rather late in the afternoon. I think two of us at least were unannounced. Perhaps Brother McKay was announced. I'm not quite sure about that. But we made a headway at once for the meeting place of the Latter-day Saints. I shall never forget that meeting. We were not expected. A meeting was held of the people, the men and women who had been called to labor's missionaries in the city of Oslo. It's a report meeting. One after the other, the people, young and old, got up and bore and gave a report of what they'd done. I recall one old lady who got up and she said, I sort of hesitate to bear my report. And to give you my report, it's been such a poor report. I've only had time last month to preach the gospel in 200 different homes. And I thought of the faith of that woman, the strength of the faith of that woman, and how many of us fail to appreciate what we have received as she did appreciate it. We go by day after day. We have received a great gift, the greatest of all gifts, and we forget to pay back to the Lord as he would like us to do, a part of our time and our strength, our power, to assist in advancement of the great kingdom of God here upon this earth. As much I might tell you, even after a brief trip to Scandinavia this summer, about the conditions of the people there, but they're faithful Latter-day Saints. I just touched old London again and found the same old London in the same condition pretty much the people faithful and true to their covenants. And I'd like to say before I close this brief report that I was greatly thrilled this morning as I heard Brother Cowley give his report. And added to that, we've had that of Brother Kirkham just a few moments ago. This message is not for the valleys to the mountains alone. It's not to be confined here near these everlasting hills. We have a worldwide message. Our army missionaries, 5,800 strong, it was said this morning, implies our belief with respect to the spread of the gospel over the whole earth. The Lord has said himself that every ear shall hear the gospel in these latter days. That means not merely the ears of the people who live here or in this beautiful and blessed land of America, but far beyond, over the seas, on the islands, everywhere the gospel is to be preached and taught, and we're doing it. And as we do that and continue to do it, the Lord will bless us and magnify us, make us powerful, strong, acceptable to him. But let us never forget the worldwide nature of our obligations before the Lord. Our missionary system is to be cherished and kept alive constantly and forever until the last great day comes and the Lord says the work is done. And so, my brethren and sisters, I bear you again my testimony. I know this to be the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. If this is the truth, President Brigham Young used to say at times, men ask me what the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ is. What name does it bear? And I want to say to you, its name is truth. And that is why this church and our work, if you're faithful, as we have been taught this morning by the president, the prophet of the Lord, why we shall conquer. We shall not fail. We cannot fail. Truth never fails. And we have the truth if we keep it, and if we cherish it, and if we live it and practice it, then victory will be ours from the smallest household in Zion to the greatest outpost of Zion, wherever that may be. And so may the Lord bless us and be with us and fill us with understanding of this mighty work laid out for us in the latter days, make us able to do his work, which we can do if you're faithful. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.